One time I was watching Buffy.
The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
Hello and happy hump day. It's time for the Nate Darling Show with Diana Hong, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D. And now, a man with the true love of lady lumps. Here's Nate.
Hey! I don't know why I wanted to do that.
Wow.
That's how we start our shows now.
Hey, lady lumps, hey!
Could I have sounded less like someone who was interested in lady lumps there?
You missed it by an octave. Like, I was so disappointed. You missed it by an octave.
Well, man. I wasn't trying to be...
Is that right?
Oh, there you go.
Close.
That doesn't sound right either.
Yeah, maybe. Coming up on the show today, we got a lot to get to. Brett Favre's guy won, sort of. We talked about him last week in his endorsement. We'll touch on that. We will also talk about the cities with the hottest people in America, both men and women. There were some surprises, so don't peek.
Ooh.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, do not peek. And Matt Lauer got to talk to the CEO of General Motors and caught some flack for it. So we'll talk about all that. But first, because it is the big thing in the news right now, on Monday, the Supreme Court was at it again, and they sided with the Hobby Lobby.
The Hobby Lobby lobby, I think.
Yeah. Well, they're not really a lobby. They're just a crap store.
I know, but it's the Hobby Lobby lobby. It's like the lobby for the Hobby Lobby.
Burwell versus Hobby Lobby. It essentially destroyed the power of contraception mandate over closely held corporations. Conservatives celebrated, but liberal pundits were kind of outraged and...
Kind of outraged.
Kind of outraged, you guys. They were kind of outraged.
My Facebook was blowing up with that shit. I still have no idea what the fuck's going on.
Well, basically, in Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, one of the provisions in there was that the health insurance had to fully cover reproductive health with no deductible. So whether it be the pill or whether it be your annual pap smear or whatever, it would all fall under that one thing. Well, the Hobby Lobby is owned by a family. Then again, so is Walmart. But the Hobby Lobby is owned by a family with very traditional religious views, and they don't feel that they should have to pay for contraception for their employees. So that's how that started. And here are some of the tweets that went through. I saw things very similar to this. Zerlina Maxwell, I don't know who she is, but she tweeted, "I feel sick, and I'm going to go find my sanity in Ginsburg's dissent." John Fugelsang, who's a celebrity of sorts, tweeted, "The Supreme Court hashtag Hobby Lobby ruling proves once again that Scalia law is a lot like Sharia law."
Ooh.
It really isn't.
But it's a good wordplay, so, it works.
You know how I feel about wordplay.
Hobby Lobby Lobby.
Any more than 5 minutes is wasted. You should just get on to it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, what play?
Elizabeth Warren, who is, we all know Elizabeth Warren. She's a senator. She tweeted, "Can't believe we live in a world where we'd even consider letting big corps deny women access to basic care based on vague moral objections." I think that's probably a very... very reasoned response to it. Here's what troubles me about the whole thing. And I know lady parts are a giant mystery to everyone, including a lot of ladies. But the lady parts are the lady parts are not just used for the joys of sex. They're also part of the general health and well-being of the female person. So
wait, so they're actually attached to the ladies, what you're trying to
way
say.
Way up in there. Way up in it's, there.
Oh.
I'm learning
so
a lot.
So much to learn.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying. in fact, Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg sharply disagreed with the declining justices in language so harsh that Justice Anthony Kennedy felt the need to respond in his own concurring opinion. In a decision of startling breadth, the court holds that commercial enterprises, including corporations, along with partnerships and sole proprietorships, can opt out of any law, saving only tax laws, they judge incompatible with their sincerely held religious beliefs. That's what Ginsburg wrote. In the court's view, RFRA demands accommodation of a for-profit corporation's religious beliefs, no matter the impact that accommodation may have on third parties who do not share the corporation owner's religious faith. In these cases, thousands of women employed by Hobby Lobby and Conestoga or dependents of persons those corporations employ. So it's not just the persons. It's let's say Helen has a 16-year-old daughter who is of the age where she needs to be going to the gynecologist and getting her sexual health and reproductive bits checked out on a regular basis. Gone. Doesn't qualify because you use them for sex. So no.
Wait. So I don't understand. If it's not for sex though, mm-hmm. can they still get it?
No.
That's the
no.
Because, so everything, well, right?
It's not. I mean,
because you know, birth control can be used for acne.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
That's a common thing. But no, it's
other things,
they, no.
It's just
no.
In general, because then people could.
There's no
off
label exemption.
Right.
The Ginsburg's dissenting opinion and a lot of court watchers feel that because the court used contraception, it can be more broadly applied than what people who are proponents of the decision feel, which is that it's singles out a specific set of contraceptive type drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't necessarily challenging the pill per se. They were challenging Plan B, certain kinds of intrauterine devices, and some other stuff. So whether or not this is broad enough to pick up every kind of pill possible, it's not necessarily agreed upon right now, but...
Well, to your point, Rush Limbaugh saw it sort of the same way. Here's what he had to say.
Despite what many on the left are saying today, despite what you're probably going to hear from a lot of people on the left, birth control is not what was banned by the Supreme Court. That's not what was on the docket, so to speak. In the Hobby Lobby case, narrow though it may be, the Supreme Court, by 5-4 majority decision, defended liberty. And it should be noted that even after this decision, birth control remains widely available. It is dirt cheap, no matter where you want to go get it. The fact is that if you wanted to be entirely, well, not entirely, if you wanted to be somewhat negative about this, you could say that the most appalling thing about today's decision is that we had to even endure it.
That is kind of appalling that we had to endure in 2014.
I agree with him.
But I think we find it appalling for different reasons.
Oh, okay. I thought we were coming together for a moment.
Yeah, I thought we did too. No. That was kind of cute.
We had a moment.
Yeah.
He went on
to rain on that fucking parade.
Mega dittos, Rush. He went on to say women can still go to Target or Walmart and buy a month's worth of contraception for $9, expressing disbelief at the idea that
Does he just mean condoms?
I think that's the only
thing
you can
buy.
Because
you can't get the pill for $9.
No.
Well,
I think
unless
really
it's a copay.
I think you don't get the
pill for that much money.
Right.
Right? I don't know.
I don't think so. No, he just meant condoms. You can't buy the pill at Target.
Right. And condoms, that's all you need.
Yeah. And
right?
Oh, yeah. That protects
that's all I
everything.
Buy.
Yeah. They never go wrong.
It's all I buy.
And, you know what? I heard if you double strap them too, triple, quadruple, the safer.
Right.
See,
just keep bagging it.
Just
like double bagging.
You know what?
The
just like
store.
Saran wrap it with the fucking grocery bag. Mm. Save that $9.
Okay.
If you lose aluminum foil, you can recycle
don't
it.
Don't have sex, you horrible fucking sluts.
There's that, yeah.
There's some guy, and I mean, I use Facebook as examples for things, but there is some guy, like friend of a friend, who was trying to analogize it as, say I went free climbing.
Oh, God.
And,
oh, my God.
And I didn't use any of the protective stuff that's available. You could buy it, and my employer doesn't want me to free climb, and then I fall and hurt myself, and then should I sue my employer for not paying for the, like, harnesses and stuff? And is employer forced to cover my, like... the cost of my recuperation? And I'm like, yeah, they are now. If you went climbing and just, yeah, I mean, if you did something stupid, if you do all kinds of stuff, if you ride your bike without a helmet and you have health insurance, your health insurance still has to cover it, whether or not you wear a helmet. Also, your right to free climb is not the same as your right to engage in a basic human function, which is boinking.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody,
yeah,
everybody
obviously has a kid.
Everybody who wants to consent can boink all they want. I think it's a fundamental human right.
Oh, free climate. That was a good one.
Yeah.
That was,
I mean, it would reduce the, it reduces stress. It,
it's all
it
kinds of healthy.
Helps people be in better moods at work. I mean, all
that
sorts of things.
That explains a lot. But that's, I just, really, free climbing, that's what, that's, people, okay, here's the thing. People, Facebook people, just stop.
Facebook people.
Just stop.
People love Facebook. Just stop what you're doing now.
If you have any doubt in your mind, if you say to yourself, this is brilliant, and people refer to you normally as a dick, and you just think you, I think if you are the only one giving yourself props for something, just don't post it. Because more than likely, you just sound like a douche.
I've just taken to writing "Thanks Obama" to every complaining post on Facebook. I find it to be pretty much universal. Thanks Obama. Meanwhile, over on Fox News, we're almost done with the Hobby Lobby stuff. They have a new show called Outnumbered. I don't know if this is new, replacing the Five. It's called Outnumbered. It's where they have one. They have one person with common sense and four angry conservatives yelling at them. Here's how that went down.
That's just like dinner sometimes.
Or by your own. I'm listening to you. I know Senator Harry Reid said something maybe echoing what you're saying today in a tweet.
By the way, there are four women sitting on the couch with Bob Beckel. Bob Beckel is the one who is not real happy with the decision.
And in other places, he's saying it now. If Democrats took such exception to what's going on, why are we not hearing more from them before this ruling? Right? And the president has exercised 40 times. I brain room checked it just today because.
Why are they not saying anything? Because they expected the Supreme Court to come down with a reasonable decision. And you don't want to come out being like, bah! And then have the court go, yeah, we're going to rule this way. It's called being reasonable. And giving every branch of government the chance to act the way it should. But they didn't, so now they're going to do something. I'll carry
good.
On.
Good.
As we know that it can change by the hour. How many executive motions, changes, and delays that this White House has made to Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act? So if they really saw a problem coming down the pike with any sort of ruling that might come from the Supreme Court, why weren't they more vocal? And they had an opportunity before this ruling to make some sort of a delay in the mandate. We've seen them do it before, or some sort of change. Maybe they'll do it now, because now we, the taxpayers, will have to pay when someone
Jesus, is this question ever going to end?
This is a question
for one of these four contracts.
You know, it took two decades.
It took two decades to finally settle down
on Medicare. This is a sweeping bill, Obamacare. It's going to have a lot of challenges. There's a lot more left to go before the court. In this case, this is the most egregious of all. Two people, and I happen to be a Christian and a very strong one. The idea that I would impose my values on 13,000 people is obscene, absurd, and unconstitutional, and the court should be bludgeoned for it.
Wow.
Women fought this today.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't have time to get to it, but they're saying this is a huge win for women at a time when Ruth Ginsburg.
Why is it a win for women? What about women who want to have a
business? What about female business owners?
Oh, I see. I see. Not the 13,000 women.
What a twisted way of looking at it.
Can someone explain that to me? Because I still don't get it.
It's a win for women business owners because they don't have to pay for.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
That's exactly what it was. That was the 13,000.
You gotta be fucking kidding.
No, I'm not. There are four women badgering this guy because he thinks that the Hobby Lobby ruling was ridiculous. There's four women sitting there on Fox News giving him the bitch face like, oh, you are ridiculous. So
he hates women. That's the problem.
That would explain it.
He hates successful women.
He hates business and capitalism.
I hate those women.
Sex.
Wait, no.
Wow. Because I saw that and I was like, I don't get it. And then I think things just have to be dumbed down for me nowadays. Because I deal with
Facebook.
I deal with Facebook. So now I understand. I was like, I don't understand.
They did what Fox News does. You throw something way out there in front, and people go, oh, there's 13,000 women that are fighting for this. And then that's the talking point. But the 13,000 women that are fighting for this are the ones that are controlling these businesses that are going to save a bunch of money off their bottom line by not providing this part of healthcare for people.
I'm curious how many businesses are closely owned businesses? Not to get too into the details of it. You know, that's the ruling. It's closely owned. Is that the word? Closely owned businesses, like
closely,
family owned?
Closely held.
Sorry,
it's not like family held. It's a definition of what I don't want to say diversity, but how many people own the stock in the company and are shareholders. And I read there was some Washington Post article, I think, that estimated something like 80% of corporations are closely would fall under the court's definition of close or the IRS's definition or somebody's fucking definition of closely held.
So I think
and it would affect something like but it would affect something like 52% of the workforce.
Okay.
Yeah. I think Walmart actually falls under that category.
Closely held. Sorry about that.
Because it is controlled by the Walton family and they
It'll be interesting to see who will Walmart react to that. You know, we assume one bad thing about them, but I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if because most companies were complying just fine with Obamacare. Yeah. I don't know if anybody's suddenly going to be like, oh, we don't have to. Great. We're going to save the $10 or whatever, you know, an employee on doing this. But
It was primarily, well, the Hobby Lobby, obviously, but the other organization that was really vocal about it was the Catholic Church. And I heard something.
That's a corporation. Like, why the fuck do they care?
A tax-free corporation.
I know that was a stupid question, but why the fuck?
They're
an
interest group. They're allowed to.
Yeah, I mean, but
they can
like,
weigh in with a thing.
But like, everyone can weigh in with the thing, and I think that's the problem.
Well, and I heard the Archbishop of New York essentially say something similar to what Rush Limbaugh said: was you can get birth control anywhere, and it's cheap. You can go into any 7-Eleven and get birth control.
Do people are not? Why do people not? I think everyone needs to be like poor. I need to solve the world's problem. If everyone was poor for a month.
It's going really well in some countries where everyone is poor.
No, like all the rich people need to be poor for a month and fucking get it. Or like work retail or work in the corporation, like the undercover boss thing. I think that's a brilliant show idea.
Well, there was a movie Trading Places which in the 80s, classic. Which that happened, where it was a rich guy traded places with a poor guy. It's happened before. It's
no, but like traded places with just like their job or like their lifestyle.
Their lifestyle. It was everything. In the movie, it was everything. The problem is with all of these ideas where you should change like this. It's like when the mayor of Stockton decided to sleep out with the homeless one night. Well, that's one night.
No, that's what I'm saying. For a month. Everyone needs to be poor for a month.
Right, but they've done that too where I'm going to live on minimum wage for
like
a month.
Tourism. I had read a book in the philosophy class in college, and I can't remember who wrote it, but it was something where this guy's sort of proselytizing was to like, you should go out and spend a night with a homeless.
Right.
Really understand. And I found it so morally offensive because if somebody's going to be like, I'm just going to sit with you and see what it's like to be you, I'd be like, you can go, you fuck you. Go home and enjoy your house and your food and your everything. Like, don't be a tourist in my life. So you can think about it deep and meaningfully when you return to your nice, happy home with walls and food and stuff. Like, well, fuck you.
But if they're not in a position where they're fucking other people over, then I think it's like a weird touristy, like a weird fetish thing. I think that's a weird fetish thing. But if they're like these, but people like have the ability to like affect other people's lives and they make stupid assumptions, like just really dumb assumptions. It's just like, you should be educated. You're the ones that are educated. Why and where the fuck are you getting this? Oh yeah, you're educated, so you're privileged, like all this shit. And you just been like that your whole entire life. Like my little cousin, she's like that. And she just is starting to get it just now at like 20. She's about to turn 21. Just now she's getting like the world isn't great. Like, and she goes to Stanford and she will never understand the whole entire picture. But we had a conversation. It was like, do I want to? Like, and I'm like, I don't think so. But if you're ever in a position of power, yes, you better fucking learn.
I don't think there's anything bad about somebody who's 20 years old who thinks the world is great. I hope everyone can get to that point where they're 20 and the world is great.
But when you look down on someone else and they don't, because they don't follow your morals or whatever, like she like didn't understand the family dynamic between me and my parents like looked down on me for it. It's like, you're not trying hard enough and all this shit. And it's just like, there's shitty people out there in the world. Like, it's great if you have a optimistic view on life and stuff like that, but you have to understand, like, you cannot impose your ideals on others that negative effect
look Jesus told me to impose my views on others. So,
and you sex.
But like, that's a realistic, like, that's another huge factor. It's not an optional thing for a lot of these proponents. They don't, it's not necessarily because they don't experience something else. I mean, it's just, this is why we don't fucking put religion in our public policy.
Well,
or
we're
shouldn't.
Not supposed to, but they just don't I just think also they just don't get it, because they have all this, like, for those religious people that are like, yeah, you know, if God wants us to have a kid, we can have a kid. Usually you can afford to have a fucking kid. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just so much fucking wrong with this.
Yeah.
And it bothers me. I'm never scrapbooking again, just out of principle.
There are other craft stores available.
I go to Michael's. I've never been to Hobby Lobby. That just sounds stupid. No. You have a stupid name.
Dearly beloved.
Too loud. Too loud. We are gathered here today to get through
this
thing
called life. This is the only preaching that there should be in the government.
Yeah.
There's something else.
There's something else.
It's true. How much weed do you think Prince smoked to come up with this?
Just enough.
Exactly.
There's a Hobby Lobby moved to Sacramento right about the time they filed that suit, so I've never been to the Hobby Lobby in Sacramento, and now I never will.
All right, I'm sorry. When I start hearing about churchy stuff, I need to go to Prince. So my bad.
Oh, can I share a Facebook status? I thought this one's brilliant.
Sure, go ahead.
Kate Willett, who's a San Francisco comedian, who's she's smart. She's brilliant. If you have a chance, go see her. Her status about this is, not sure why access to contraception is continuously framed as a woman's rights issue. I definitely know a guy or two who has benefited from contraception. Won't name names here, but I'll give you a hint. None of them answer to daddy.
It's true.
So thank you, Kate.
I don't know. I have a kid. You guys may have known.
Yeah, it's true.
And if anything, and maybe it seems counterintuitive, but the process of being pregnant and having a kid has made me way more pro-choice than I even was before.
Mm-hmm.
Because that shit is no joke. Like, pregnancy is that's a big hardcore thing your body goes through, and I'm not going to tell anybody they should or shouldn't do it. Right. That's all on you. You do what you got to do, or do what you don't got to do. I hope that my hope would be that everybody would have access to whatever they need to not become pregnant, and therefore wouldn't have to terminate a pregnancy. But again, you gotta live with that. Like, it's not, pregnancy is not a joke. And it's not a fun, blessing, fucking hearts and unicorns and candy and sunshine out of your ass experience. In fact, it's nothing out of your ass. It's usually a good 17 weeks of hardcore constipation, which is really uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Just a fun fact for you.
Ew.
In the
pregnancy's rough.
In the end, don't the birth canal and the ass become one at a certain point?
If you're really unlucky, they can.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Hey.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, let's change the subject now. Christiana,
what?
you got to go to Bonnie Field last week?
I did.
How was that? Hold on. Let me start this again, because I have some elements for you.
Oh, whoa.
So Christiana, you got to go to Bonnie Field last week?
I did.
Oh, good for you.
I did.
And how was it?
Yeah. I like that. That's one of my favorite little cues.
Give me a fucking answer.
Okay. Oh. All right, Christian Bale, leave me alone.
Damn.
It was fun. I've been wanting to go to a game for a while, and I kind of wish I'd gone when they were over at Hughes, just to like compare the two. But
right.
So Bonnie Field is the new soccer stadiumette built in Cal Expo. It's pretty nice. You know, it's some bleachers they constructed that are kind of mostly permanent. It's not, this is not like a Rayleigh Field level of permanent.
No, it's one of those temporarily permanent sort of things, because the goal is to bring an MLS team to Sacramento.
And then build some real stuff.
And build a real stadium.
Yeah.
So
they can put it at Arco or something. I don't know what they need to do.
No, well, there's...
They'll put it in West Sac, because that city's better at this kind of thing.
Well, Elk Grove has talked about wanting it.
Fuck Elk Grove.
At that point...
They tried to get the Sac Republic, but they didn't, so...
It's true, they did. At any point, by that point, you know, we're talking 4 or 5 years down the line, maybe the, once the new Kings Arena is up, maybe the rail yards will be something, but...
Yeah.
So, how about the in-game experience? How was the whole thing?
It was good. We sat... you definitely want to be on the shady side of things. It seemed like the side of the field where there's a center, like a midline section of seats where they've actually put in, you know, they've basically screwed seats onto the bleachers so you could have like backrests. Mm-hmm. That's all in the sun. So I was happy with a bench seat. It was good. We were very, very much sort of on the goal line. So we were, it was hard to stay engaged with the action at one end of the field. And so we were there on Thursday night, which was the evening of the day with the U.S. game in the morning.
Right.
And so I don't know if like everybody cheered themselves out. It was a very mellow crowd with sort of like golf clapping every so often, with the exception of the Tower Bridge Battalion, which is the football boosters club that sits behind one of the goals with signs and chants and cheers and beats drums and whatever the entire time. So I'd probably want to sit closer to them next time because they were definitely like more into it. Mm-hmm. But the game was good. Lots of fouls, which is a drag because it just stops the action. Some impressive players. And it was fun. So I'm looking at maybe we'll do some season ticket action sometime soon.
There you go.
Podcast outing.
It was a good evening, you know, if you like soccer.
Yeah, the tickets aren't as cheap as I'd like for a podcast outing.
No, they are not as cheap. And that's why I say I kind of wish I'd gone when I was at Hughes Stadium, because the tickets were basically like half the price at Hughes Stadium. But now there's half the seating, so the tickets are double. If you get, by the way, if anybody wants to go in on season tickets with me, if you get the season tickets, it does knock the game price down to about $20 a ticket, depending on where you're going to sit, which is, I mean, I sit, when I go to Rivercats games, I get the $7 or the $9 field seats because I'm happy enough with it, but
sure.
I also care more about soccer than I do about baseball. So I don't know. It's fun. I recommend it. It's nice to support something a little different.
I should go because I went to my first soccer game last year. I went to a Portland Timbers game in Portland, and that atmosphere was just crazy. But that's an MLS team, and it's one of the best environments in MLS. So it's a high bar to look at. It's like
I haven't been to an MLS game, so I can't compare it to that.
Podcast outing.
The only other. The only other big soccer game I went to was the Women's World Cup final in 1995 when the U.S. team was playing China. And that was a pretty amped up crowd, too. So
it was
a little
95?
Bit different. I think it was 95.
Holy shit. That was a long time ago.
I'm pretty sure it was 95.
That was 19 years ago.
And it was.
No, it wasn't.
Brandy,
you're right.
The Brandy Chastain.
You're fucking right.
Homegirl's
turning 19 this month. Oh, dear God.
You're so old, Diana.
I remember that
it's
game.
Painful.
I remember that game.
How long ago was that?
I know it.
I do.
Well, as we tape this, tomorrow, Tuesday.
Yes, or yesterday.
Or yesterday, as you listen to it, we will figure out whether or not the U.S. comes home.
They're coming home.
Or stays at.
Welcome back, boys.
I mean, they conceivably.
Welcome back.
They conceivably could have beaten Belgium, mm-hmm. but then they. I'm assuming would go on to face Argentina, at which point they would be going home.
Yeah.
So, but I'm looking forward to the game because it's at lunchtime, and I tried really hard to pitch my boss on like letting us watch it in the office, and he just sort of laughed at me, and I'm like, why? Come on, the game's at 1:00. That's basically lunchtime, right?
Yeah.
What's the problem?
Well, if you take a late lunch, it is.
And I said we should order in like chicken and waffles because it's America versus Belgium. And then he was like, what do you mean chicken and waffles? What is that? And I was like, what's wrong with you?
Well, he's thinking
it's chicken and waffles.
He thinks it's a southern fried thing. Hey,
no, he
US,
just never
US
heard
men's
of
soccer team. Rough game out there against Belgium, but I just want to say this to you as you return. Welcome back.
Oh, that's a pessimistic.
I really hope we have to record an addendum because you're wrong.
You can apologize to America.
I would love to be wrong. I just don't think I am. I would love to see them move on and then lose to Argentina 17-2.
You want to see them lose to Argentina?
They're going to lose to Argentina, Ted.
Where's the faith? I don't know. I don't care.
Yeah, it's
I mean, like, I care, but not really.
And I'm the same way. I mean, I want to see them do well, but I have not caught World Cup fever.
Are you guys going to watch the game tomorrow? Because Becca said she wanted to watch a game, and you were out of town at Peace Camp.
We were in town, but
town at Peace Camp.
Peace Camp was
you
in
were
town.
Camping. You
we were
camping. Doing some kind of camp. You couldn't.
Peace Camp.
So tomorrow's your chance to support the local economy by having
work.
A sandwich somewhere. And
but from I understand it, her work might all. I think her people at her work all snuck out to watch the last one of the last games, so they may do it again. And I have nothing.
I watched the last game at Lowbrow, and it was super fun.
Cool.
And there was no chance of completely hiding from like where you were, considering there were like I think. 13 and 10 were there with cameras the whole time.
Uh-huh.
We were like, God damn it.
All right. So the survey went out. Excuse me.
The survey.
It's from Hot or Not users. It's not really
still
a survey.
Thing?
It is.
It's like a dating site now, isn't it?
No.
Okay. I've never even
no, you're
really?
Thinking of Tinder.
That was one of the original websites.
Well, it's
nope.
Hot or Not, the pioneer of rating and the game that lets you check out and connect with the hottest people nearby, has released a survey of the hottest cities in America just in time for Independence Day.
why?
As you do.
Well,
you're
yeah.
free, boinka chick.
So the hottest men and hottest women, not in the same places, though.
Oh.
Let's start with the top 10 cities for the hottest men.
Did you want us not to read it so you could quiz us or something? Or was there
has anybody read it?
I haven't read it.
I did not
okay.
read it.
All right, cool. Let's do this.
Is it Miami?
Are we talking about men?
I don't know. I'm just staring at city names.
Let's start with men.
Oh, okay.
Now, there's one city that makes it for both men and women.
Huh. And you're laughing at it.
I am.
Boise, Idaho? No, I
no,
right.
no, I've been
I'm
there.
One city that makes it for both men and women.
Oh, I think.
And
oh,
it's, and
can
it's
I
number
guess?
And it's number one for the hottest women.
Oh,
and number five for the hottest
ooh,
men.
Can I guess? Can I guess? And is it Atlantic City?
By the way, Boise, Idaho is number two for the cities with the hottest men.
Okay, this
shut
shit
the
is
fuck
fucking.
Up.
Are
you serious? Well, maybe that's why I didn't notice.
Yeah, oh. She would not have noticed that.
But
and I did.
Are
I don't
they
know.
Big cities? They're big cities, right?
No, there are some smaller cities on here.
I'm going to guess Los Angeles just because. I'll say Los Angeles. Just throw it out there.
Los Angeles does not make the list. There are Los Angeles area cities that do.
Oh.
But,
oh, that's
but
cheating.
Not.
Kidding.
Like what? WeHo?
It's getting but, confusing.
Anaheim made one
Anaheim.
Of those. Anaheim is the eighth city for hottest women.
Disney princesses aren't
here's
real.
The thing. No one uses Hot or Not, so this survey doesn't mean jack.
I'm moving.
All right.
What about Austin,
Boise?
Texas?
You want to move to the place with the hottest women?
Austin, here, Texas?
Let's hear it.
No.
Oh.
Diana, here's where the hottest women are. Number 10, Boston, Massachusetts.
I don't know.
Number
they're
nine,
mean.
Number nine, Chandler, assholes. Chandler, Arizona.
What the
that's
fuck?
That's true. Arizona has some hot-ass people. Okay.
Literally.
Number eight is Anaheim.
Okay.
Yeah, I can do that.
Number seven is San Diego.
Yeah,
I'm surprised that's low.
Number six,
me too, actually.
Number six is Hialeah, Florida.
Where
the fuck?
Hialeah, Florida.
Florida
does have attractive people
because it's hot there, sweaty. All right, so let's skip over to the men, so I don't ruin this for everybody. Number 10 for the hottest men is Omaha, Nebraska.
What? I don't know. Maybe
settle down, Ted.
I'm really offended by this.
All right, well, Ted,
you're a nice guy.
Thank you.
You're a nice guy.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Aw.
Number nine is Scottsdale, Arizona.
There's a caveat in that compliment somewhere, but never mind.
No, Ted. That's
Scottsdale does
you're
have
a nice
really
guy. You're a nice guy.
Do you think there's something behind him, an ulterior motive? You know what the answer to that is, Ted?
What is it?
No!
Yeah.
Oh. Christian Dale.
That tape is awesome.
That
to
is fantastic.
Okay, where were we? Oh, yeah. Number nine, Scottsdale. Number eight, Tulsa. Buffalo, New York. Number seven for hottest men. Number six, Lubbock, Texas.
Oh, well, yeah. I know a lot of Texas tech people.
Yes.
And that's probably why they're all imported.
Oh, okay.
That's cheating.
All right. Mm. The fifth, number five city for hottest men, Stockton, California.
Bah!
Stockton, California.
For real?
Real.
It's hot or not.
Okay.
Number four, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
I do believe that lots of people in Stockton would sit on this website and
yeah.
choose
yeah,
hot or not all
probably.
The time.
Number
that's
three, Lincoln, Nebraska. Number two, Boise, Idaho, and the hottest men can be found in Nashville, Tennessee.
That makes sense.
Nashville,
wait,
Tennessee.
What?
Are
it
we going
does?
Back to the women's? Because Southern gentlemen, they're like more they're a little more shallow. It's like the LA of country, and everyone loves like you know Southern hospitality. It's like it's kind of
hot
like cowboy.
Men, not gentlemen.
It's kind of sexy because they're shallow. What no. Wow, someone, I can feel the bitterness and the haterade from this one. No, but it makes sense because they're like, they take care of themselves and they dress up and they you know, if you, anyone can look attractive. That's
true.
Not hard.
All right.
It's true.
Okay, now the back to the women. The top five cities for the hottest women. Number five, Miami. Number four, Scottsdale, Arizona.
Oh, yeah, they are hot.
Number three, Santa Ana, California. Which
is that in SoCal?
It is. It's right next to Anaheim. Number two, Riverside, California.
That never. Oh,
Nah. Right? Is that wrong? I feel like that's wrong.
And the hottest
Stockton of
the hottest women, the hottest women in America are in Stockton, California.
You're lying.
I am not.
Oh, now who's being bitter?
All right, now field trip, you guys. Get in the car. Right now.
I'm not bitter. I'm just very dubious about this whole survey.
We're going to Stockton.
Get in the fit, everybody.
Stockton, California is number 5 for the hottest men and number 1 for the hottest women.
Are hot people drawn to bankrupt cities? Is that the appeal here?
Here's what I'm going to propose.
Okay.
If any comics are listening to this podcast that runs rooms in Stockton, California, I want to be booked.
Yeah, well, there are rooms in Stockton, California, so.
I want a reason to go to Stockton to test this theory out. Because I've traveled quite a bit in the United States, and I feel like they're full of shit.
Yeah.
The survey? Except for Nashville. That's where the hotties are.
Nashville makes sense to me.
I just don't get it. Southern gentlemen in the little white suits.
Eh, well.
Drinking mint
juice. You're a nice guy.
Thank you.
You're a nice guy.
Yeah, you got to take a compliment where it's offered, okay?
I suppose so.
All right.
But it's being yelled at me. It's a little hard to take.
All right.
All right. Fine.
I think this ice cream sandwich just made me a little loopy.
It's the sugar. So Ann Coulter thinks soccer, since soccer is ruining the fabric of America, she says, I've held off on writing about soccer for a decade.
Or about the
length of an average soccer game so as not to offend anyone. That's what she's chosen not to offend people
skip
on.
Skip it.
I read this a while ago and I can't spell anymore.
I can't do anything else with this story. Yeah. I just can't.
By the way,
I was on her side until she started bringing golf into the equation. I'm like, this bitch.
BTW, every other American valued sport is a socialist sport because it's like, you get a turn, now you get a turn, and back to you get a turn.
But at least in other sports, there are winners and losers.
There are in soccer, too.
Kidding. There's no such thing as ties. I'm not a fan of soccer.
There's no ties now in the round of 16. There's only ties in the beginning.
Oh, gosh.
No actual ties when you look at the point score. Hockey's a thing, and it's fucking the same thing, except one's with ice skates and one's on the field.
It's slightly different,
but it's largely the same.
No.
Hockey, soccer is more like hockey than it's like
badminton,
basketball or baseball or
basketball is like soccer. Because there's a ball in a place you want to put it.
Mm. It's close.
See?
A ball in a place you want to put it. I will quickly hammer through these. Everyone just runs up and down the field, and every once in a while, a ball accidentally goes in. That's not really what happens. I love her crowning point. It's foreign.
Bah!
It's foreign.
Every kid in America, I think. Would you play soccer when you were little? Everyone in this
of course
room?
Nope, I did not.
You did not. Okay, sorry to stereotype.
Well, I didn't.
Yeah.
No, I don't think Asians. Oh, you're right. No, you weren't. You were stereotyping. My parents didn't love me.
Yeah, I think everyone who had a loving family and who wasn't Oriental. Whammy, I know.
Oh.
Boy. See, I'm a nice guy, though. Christian Bale said so. Wow, sound drop episode.
3 weeks ago, Senator Thad Cochran came in 1,386 votes.
It went away. I hate when that websites do that to me. Start with me. Stop it. Brett Favre.
Tell Christian Bale to talk to them.
No!
Brett Favre's guy, Thad Cochran, sort of, I turned you down. It's killing me. I'm turning you off. So Brett Favre's guy won the election, although now the guy who lost is challenging it because in Mississippi they've got this weird, like in the Mississippi primary, anybody can vote. You don't have to be registered to one party or another. It's an open primary.
Wow.
So they reached out to African-American voters to vote against the guy who essentially hates black people. And now they're crying foul. So weird things going on in Mississippi. But Brett Favre's guy won. Yay.
Yay.
He's been in Congress for like 40 years.
A thing back in the, like, isn't that cheating?
What? Mm-hmm.
Like, just going up and being like, hey, you're not really knowing what's going on, but sign this piece of paper and we'll give you a cookie.
No, no, no. It's not that at all. What it's they were democracy. Doing is they were running ads saying, go get out and vote for Thad Cochran because Thad Cochran got money. Like in Brett Favre's ad, Thad Cochran got us money after Katrina to rebuild this, 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 and this. And the allegations, I'm not going to find another Rush Limbaugh clip to play, although I could, where he's talking about they advertised to black people that Thad Cochran got them stuff and is going to continue to get them stuff, so go vote for Thad Cochran. There was a large African-American voter turnout, which is kind of odd for two really white guys running against each other, but that's kind of how it worked out. So there's still a lot going on there. But the craziness is a little north of there in Memphis, Tennessee, where a woman was banned from Memphis Zoo after climbing over a barrier and attempting to give cookies to lions.
Oh, God.
That's right. The woman recently became a zoo Kitty. Member.
Kitty.
She was a zoo member and had two run-ins with the zoo staff.
Measure there. I'm a member.
Last week, she tried to feed cookies to lions by tossing them.
She tossed her cookies on the lions.
However, yeah. This time, she climbed over a barrier at the entrance to Cat Country, which is not a radio station, oddly. There were still bars between the woman and the lions as she once again tried to feed them cookies. After repeated offenses, a zoo visitor was asked to leave permanently when they violated zoo policy by crossing the first of several barriers which separates our guests from the lion enclosure. This person has been banned from the Memphis Zoo indefinitely. It's crucial all visitors respect the barriers put in place for the safety of themselves and our animals. That's
honestly,
according to
just have her sign a waiver and let her have what she wants.
Throw cookie. Well, cookies aren't good for a lion.
That's true. Stop abusing the animals, lady.
Yeah.
What kind of cookies?
It was unclear.
It could be.
You know
beef.
What's good for lions?
Meat.
Meat.
Could be a meat cookie, I guess. That's true.
People.
Meat. Fleshy, raw meat cookies.
The hand that feeds the
cookies
is probably good.
There you go. Feed her to the lions.
Also in Memphis, speaking of southern hospitality in Tennessee, a Memphis man is locked up after police say he pulled a gun on a stranger who was just saying hello.
First at 4:30, a simple hello takes an unexpected turn for a man living in downtown Memphis.
I ain't never seen nothing like it. You speak to somebody, he just up a gun, that's crazy.
What's even crazier, the man allegedly did it twice in a matter of minutes. Thanks for joining us. I'm April Thompson.
I'm Alex Coleman. Police say Vincent Hawkins pulled out a gun and threatened Carlos Miller right in front of his own home.
WREG's Elise Preston talked to the victim, who says he's blessed to still be alive today.
What could have been a simple hello almost turned into a deadly situation twice in front of this apartment complex off of Highway 51. Would you say?
Mom and Dad, just how you doing? What's up? Would you say hi?
Carlos Miller says that's when Vincent Hawkins pulled out a gun, put it to Miller's forehead, and threatened to kill him outside the Barbara State Apartments Tuesday.
And what did you do?
What you mean, what I do? I tried to get away from it. I've been shot before, and I wasn't trying to get shot again.
Miller ran inside.
He wasn't trying to get shot again.
Once is enough.
So nobody was hurt, so that's the good news, and they've got the guy in custody. I find the story slightly dubious.
Yeah.
Although crazy people, you never know what crazy people are going to do.
Crazy things.
Crazy things.
You can bet on it.
Mm-hmm.
Also in Memphis, more southern hospitality, a woman who said women were committing crimes against men
and that
was wrong was nailed for doing just that. It's bad when you talk to the TV station. She talked to the TV station, and then a few days later, got nabbed for doing bad things.
Oh,
the story will explain it for you, Ted.
Oh, good. I like explanations.
Yeah, it's
all
cool.
Right. Thanks a lot, Tim.
Terrifies
also
things.
At 4:30, a woman who says women committing crimes against men is just wrong. Well, she is nailed for doing just that.
Yeah, two women are accused of a robbery scheme that left a man running through the streets completely naked.
Oh.
WREG's Michael Quander explains.
Instead of going to a hotel, police say a man and woman came to this abandoned apartment building in Whitehaven to hook up. But police say that man got much more than he bargained for.
It seems like the women are doing the most of the crimes nowadays.
What? We talked to this woman earlier in the week about women behaving badly.
A lot of people out here are just going crazy.
Now, police say she's the one out of control. Sincere Lobbins is accused of turning a night of pleasure into a night of pain for a Whitehaven man.
Not
police say Lobbins suggested having sex in their car behind these boarded up buildings off of Barton.
Who in their right mind would go behind an abandoned building to do that?
Said the random 50-something-year-old black guy that they found to talk to. Nobody in their right mind, but a guy who's got a giant raging boner and a somewhat willing woman. Yeah, sure, if you're in your 20s.
Once the couple took off their clothes...
You never know who you got watching.
Police say Lobbins arranged for Evelina Garrett and another man to hop in the car and kidnap the victim with stun guns.
At any given time, you always need to be aware of your surroundings and who is surrounding you.
The victim was taken to this ATM off of Elvis Presley.
And no, the guy they're talking to has no relation to this at all. He's just a random guy.
He just knows what's up.
Over his PIN number.
He has a lot of knowledge.
Stole $600.
People... do some crazy things.
After the wild ride he wasn't expecting, the victim was thrown out of the car about a mile away on East Shelby and Verona. Police eventually caught up to the two women. The other man involved is still on the run. Reporting in Whitehaven, Michael Quander, WREG, News Channel 3.
What a story. Both.
What a story.
The guy's like, that's all I can say about that.
I have other things to say, but it wouldn't be appropriate to say them here on TV. Craziness. Hey, we got some, I promised some Matt Lauer stuff. We'll get to that in just a sec. What do you got? What's going on?
Ace is asleep with his face on your shoe, like the opening of the shoe. It's pretty cute.
No, he does that all the time. That's his thing.
The sweet
it's
smell of
Nate's
feet.
It's not any less cute.
It is adorable.
It's
adorable.
Cute to us.
Yeah, went to the vet this past weekend.
It was
just regular booster shots and stuff. So it was good times, except for the fact that all the way there and all the way back, Ace was like, Mew.
Is he a Pokemon?
Yeah, sort of. And then we get there and get them out of the carriers. They're in the exam room. And poor Hef here is he gets really quiet and he just sort of hunkers down and his eyes get really big. And then he started to shake. And I'm like, buddy, calm down. It's going to be okay.
Rectal thermometers.
I said, shaking is bad. Did you ask my permission to shake? And
no,
exactly. That's what I was doing. I said, Hef, stop shaking.
I'm not asking. I'm telling you.
Exactly. Oh,
did it work?
No, it did not. But they're both in good health.
Oh, good.
Both in very good health. And it was funny because Hef is a big cat. And the vet pulled him out, and she's like, oh, he's a big guy. And she does the exam, and when a vet examines a cat, they, like, run their hands under through and feel their underbelly and stuff. She's like, but he's not really fat. He's just a lot of cat.
Big boned. Where's that? I want that. Cartman. I'm not big boned.
He's hefty.
She's just like, there's just a lot of cat here. I'm like, okay.
More cat for you to love.
It is more cat for me to love.
Aw.
So Matt Lauer caught some flack for his interview with Mary Barra, the GM CEO.
I want to tread lightly here, but you've heard this. You heard it in Congress, and you've heard it in the headlines. You got this job because you are hugely qualified. 30 years in this company, a variety of different jobs. Damn. But there are some people who are speculating that you also got this job as a woman and as a mom. Because people within General Motors knew this company was in for a very tough time. And as a woman and a mom, you could prevent a softer face and softer image for this company as it goes through this horrible episode. Does it make sense or does it make you bristle?
Well, it's absolutely not true. I believe I was selected for this job based on my qualifications, but we dealt with this issue. When the senior leadership of the company knew about this issue, we dealt with it the minute we knew.
You're a mom, I mentioned. Mm-hmm. Two kids. You said in an interview not long ago that your kids said they're going to hold you accountable for one job, mm-hmm. and that is being a mom.
Correct.
Given the pressures of this job mm-hmm. at General Motors, can you do both well?
You know, I think I can. I have a great team. We're on the right path. We're doing the right things. We're taking accountability. And also, I have a wonderful family, a supportive husband, and I'm pretty proud of my kids the way they're supporting me in this.
Oh, brother. Have they ever asked a male CEO, can you be a good dad and a good CEO of this company?
They should, though.
Oh, yeah, it'd be nice.
But I don't know that they... Well, first of all, I don't know if they haven't. I'm gonna say... I'm ambivalent on this. I don't know that he deserves a lot of crap for it. It's an interesting thing. I like hearing about how other women... I like drawing attention to the fact that there are women in these positions who can do these things
mm-hmm.
and manage them somehow. It is interesting to me to hear how they do that. Hopefully they will start asking men as well. But I don't know, since I don't read all or listen to all of the interviews with leadership everywhere, this falls in the same category to me as the, like, they pay for Viagra, but they don't pay for your birth control. You don't fucking know that. Nobody knows. No, you don't know. You don't really know.
Right.
The company's position on Viagra. You don't know if the insurance policy is covered or not. It's sort of an open question. And same here. I think there's increasing attention to work-life balance and to women taking these positions of leadership. So, I mean, if his question had been like, what shade lipstick is that? How do you dress so stylishly? Who does your hair? Would have been problematic to me, but, you know, questions about work-life balance and drawing attention to the fact that, like, this is life for women. That's okay.
Well, sorry, Nate.
No, go ahead, Ted.
Oh, well, I don't know. I come from a family where I had a dad who worked a lot and I did not see him very much. And it's just, you know, I think it's, I guess I wish the emphasis was spread out on both sides of the mother-father unit, you know.
Right.
But it's, I don't think dads are expected to be in the family unit as much as moms are.
So. No, traditionally, no, especially right. Not when you were a little kid.
Exactly.
So that
way
that,
back in the day.
Yeah, it wasn't just yesterday.
No.
Matt Lauer got a lot of angry tweets from people. Seriously, boo on at Matt Lauer for asking a woman CEO if she can do the job because she's a mom. Don't remember him asking any dads if they can do job. That was from Neera Tanden. I don't know who she is. Matt Iglesias with a Y.
Oh.
Can't believe at M Lauer really did this and then posted a link to it. And then David Shepherdson, I don't know who he is, said at Today's Show, Matt Lauer in 2010 didn't ask at Toyota chief Jim Lentz if he could run a company's NA operations as a father, and then posted a link to the thing. So Matt Lauer had enough of it.
Who?
He had enough. He was fed up. He said, listen.
He's a punchy chap.
You're a nice guy. You're a nice guy.
He went to Facebook to defend himself because he's.
That's where you go.
He's
only just joined Facebook like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's really funny.
He'll be on Twitter in 5 years.
Yeah.
He said, as part of the interview, I referenced this Forbes article, and then he links to it, where Barra talked about the challenge of balancing work life and home life. She said, quote, my kids told me the one job they're going to hold me accountable for is mom. She said she just accepted the job as the first female CEO of a major American automotive company. And in the article, she said that she felt horrible when she missed her son's junior prom. It's an issue almost any parent, including myself, can relate to. If a man had publicly said something similar after accepting a high-level job, I would have asked him exactly the same thing. A couple weeks ago, we did a series on modern dads and the challenges of fatherhood today. Work-life balance is one of our focuses. It's an important topic, one that I'm familiar with personally, and I hope we can continue the discussion. He added under his breath, fuck you all.
Oh.
Like under his breath.
That was implied.
It was.
It was implied.
Cool. Yeah, he said, fuck off.
I'm not asking, I'm telling you.
Exactly. Okay. Speaking of daytime TV, The View got a shake-up.
Sherry Shepherd is
out.
I love Sherry, but if Sherry had to go to get rid of Jenny McCarthy, then I'm sorry, Sherry.
It's an odd move, but she
you are not at all.
She
announced. I will let you
justify the means.
Collateral damage, Sherry. Yeah.
Well, basically, she announced that she was leaving the show after 7 years, and Jenny McCarthy appeared to confirm that she was also stepping down after one season. Basically, Shepherd said, it's been 7 wonderful years on The View, and after careful consideration, it's time for me to move on. I'm extremely grateful to Barbara Walters and Bill Getty for giving me the opportunity. I look forward to the business opportunities that lay ahead for me, and I'm incredibly grateful to my View family and fans for supporting me on this journey. Soon after, McCarthy tweeted, if Sherry goes, I go too. #sisters.
Which, yeah, none of their tweets and what happened to them really line up with, like, reality.
ABC then tweeted, good riddance, bitch. No, they didn't. They under their breath again.
They threatened her with a hypodermic needle full of life-saving medication.
I know, right? It was terrible. But now I was watching Wendy Williams. She's like, I don't want to get to know all of these new people on The View. What's going on with this? So I'm just glad Jenny McCarthy's gone, because the biggest problem with Jenny McCarthy has every right to be ignorant, because in America we all have the right to be ignorant.
No, I'm sorry. There's addiction problem here. She's not ignorant. She's stupid. Oh. Ignorant is when you don't know. I'm ignorant about a lot of stuff.
I know it.
Sometimes I'm stupid about stuff. Everybody's ignorant about things, but once you take if you take the time to educate yourself and you continue to believe the wrong stuff, then you are just stupid.
What if you Google it?
I love that.
What if you Google it and University it comes up with something else? The University of Google.
Google. Yeah.
You got.
No, if you fail to exercise critical thought,
no,
you're stupid.
I'm very clear on my feeling about Jenny McCarthy and her complete obliteration.
Then you shouldn't offend ignoramuses everywhere.
That's
by lumping her in with them.
Fair point.
Yeah, I was rude, Nick.
Sorry.
Christian, bail yourself right now. Right now.
You're a nice guy. A nice guy.
I wasn't there going for go. That one, but sure. We'll
settle. And how was it?
Yeah, that crow was tough. Anyway, so toodaloo bitches.
Gender neutral bitches.
No. Okay. Specific bitches.
Gotcha.
Hey. What's going on?
Sorry, there's a little claw action there.
Oh.
A little big for the britches.
He's confused about what he was going after, I think.
Dangerous. What am I going to do to next? This was interesting. No, I'm not going to do that.
Oh.
It's Rush Limbaugh stuff. We don't want to do
that. We've heard enough of him.
Yeah.
And Coulter.
Yeah. Yeah, we're gonna pass on that for a little bit. Let's get some music here. We find something here. Yeah, I know. It's all discombobulated today. I'm very sorry.
That's okay.
I have a lot going on.
But I thought you were a professionally trained radio DJ.
I am.
You're a nice guy. You're a nice guy.
Too late now.
I am a professionally trained radio DJ.
Fully Jewish.
No, you're not.
Just don't. Now you're just hitting all the buttons.
Oh, Hef's comforting you, though. It's like, he's okay. It's okay.
What?
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, it's a complete mess.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
It's not a complete mess.
All right, it's time for Florida Corner without the music. A Florida woman who described herself as horny allegedly summoned a cop to her home and tried to have sex with him, pleading,
"Summoned a cop."
And I quote, "I haven't been penetrated in years." Close quote. Maria Mont. I haven't been penetrated in years.
Close quote. That was a quote. He's just closing
but
the
years
quote.
Is so like
long.
And how was it?
No, that's like, there's a lot of years.
Well, Maria Montanez Colon, who's 58, was arrested in the misuse of 911. The officer drove to her home after she reportedly told the dispatcher that she wanted her late husband's Corvette back after giving it to her son. But it appears she really wanted to satisfy her lust for lawmen. The cop says Montez Colon was drunk when he arrived and immediately started making sexually suggestive comments, such as, quote,
"Do me?
You're so sexy," and "Are you married?" But she saved the most lascivious for when he asked if he could help her. She replied, and I quote, "You can fuck me," she said.
That's romantic.
That's according to an arrest report obtained by the Smoking Gun. She allegedly grabbed the cop's arm and tried to rub her hands across his chest, so he told her that her behavior was inappropriate. "I'm bad, I know," she replied. Before leaving, the officer gave her his business card and advised her to call the police department through the non-emergency line for non-emergencies. Now, despite the advice and, you know, pretty much walking away with nothing happening, she dialed 911 a second time to say the last officer, quote, "pissed her off," and then asked to see another.
Wow.
But the original officer returned with a second officer. She explained again that she called 911 a second time because their first encounter infuriated her. "He was a perfect gentleman, but when I asked him to fuck me, he turned me down, so that made me angry," as it would. The first officer then asked her if she remembered the conversation about not using 911 in non-emergency circumstances. "I do," she allegedly said, "but how else am I going to get you to fuck me?"
Boy.
She could have said it was
she's
it's
very
really,
well reasoned, you know? You got to give her that. I mean, she's really...
She's staying on point is what's happening.
Couldn't she have said it's really an emergency she get penetrated?
I need it.
No, I don't know. That's trying to help out.
I don't get this.
I know it!
This sex drive doesn't stay above 51 miles per hour. The entire state is going to crash.
She was arrested, handcuffed, and booked into Charlotte County Jail. Also in Florida, someone a little bit younger and a little bit less adventurous, maybe?
Different.
Yeah, headline, 12-year-old takes school bus for joyride. Deputies have arrested a 12-year-old boy after an early morning joyride across the county in a school bus. Employees of the Walmart...
The Walmart?
The Walmart.
Walmart.
You know that
Walmart.
One?
Well, they gave the address.
At.
Notified a deputy of a school bus awkwardly maneuvering through the parking lot at about 5 a.m. According to a news release, though not causing a safety concern, it seems strange the driver could not figure out how to park. It was just the odd way they were driving it, said Roy Hoover, a Walmart employee. He was having a hard time parking it like he'd never drove one before. When the deputy pulled behind the bus with his emergency lights on, the young driver, Michael Wade Prop, stepped out. He initially said a man named Constantine asked him to get gas for the bus. Deputies later discovered the school bus had been taken overnight from a residence and driven nearly flawlessly across the county to the Walmart. The actual bus driver apparently had left the keys in the bus, and the kid admitted to taking it by himself. That's according to police reports. His motive was unknown. No disciplinary action was taken against the bus driver, but superintendent of schools says he plans to meet with the driver today to tell him to take your fucking keys out, you moron. Deputies contacted the child's mother, who asked them to talk to him, quote, since she was not having any impact on him. So
hopefully the
young boy got a good talking to and is on the straight and narrow, and maybe a little parking lesson at the Walmart. So
it's impressive driving for a 12-year-old, despite the parking problems.
Despite that. Yeah.
So well done. Well done, sir. Wait, no, I shouldn't say that. Never mind.
This amused me this week. It's been 20 years since Forrest Gump was released. Tom Hanks is, you know, he's a favorite everywhere he goes.
Native Sacramento, right?
I don't know if he's native. I know he lived here.
He was here for a while.
Yeah.
His son went to school and stuff here. Well, it's native.
Well,
called it.
Go with it.
He's ours. I mean, that's strong words.
Well, the Honest Trailer people have recut the Forrest Gump trailer, so it was a little bit more honest and a little less, you know, show busy.
I love Honest.
It's an honest
From
movie
From Robert Zemeckis, the director of some of your favorite movies and lots of creepy animation, comes the 20th anniversary of the film that spawned 1,000 folksy catchphrases.
Life was like a box of chocolates.
And one really disgusting seafood restaurant, Forrest Gump. Relive the heartwarming tale of Forrest, a simpleton who bombards complete strangers with his entire life story.
I've won lots of shoes.
And Jenny, a suicidal junkie hobo. Experience the epic love story between this damaged woman and the mentally challenged war hero she manipulates, whether it's sending mixed messages.
I'll always be your girl.
Forrest, you stay away from me, okay? You just stay away from me, please.
Hitting it and quitting it. Or hiding his own child from him for 5 years until she has full-blown AIDS and has nowhere else to go.
Jenny came back and stayed with me. Maybe it was because she had nowhere else to go.
Together, their one-sided relationship will serve as cliff notes to 40 years of whitewashed American history, utilizing brilliant visual effects and terrible overdubbing.
Congratulations. How do you feel?
Oh, that must be a sight.
I'll have my people take care of it for you.
Well, it's easy if you try, Dick.
Witness Forrest become a star college football player, win the Medal of Honor, play world-class ping pong in communist China, start a cross-country running cult, and build a multi-million-dollar seafood empire, yet still never get recognized.
Are you telling me you're the owner of the Bubba Gump Shrimp Corporation?
Yes, sir.
Not even by the news.
Forrest Gump, the gardener from Greenbow, Alabama, is about to cross the Mississippi River again today.
Follow along with a handful of human cliches that helped Forrest along his way, like the strong-willed single mother, the dumb southerner, and the Vietnam vet with a chip on his shoulder, who teaches all that you can succeed in America if you're dumb enough to blindly do whatever other people tell you to do.
Run! Don't try to be brave. You just run.
Okay.
How would you like to go into the shrimping business with me?
Okay.
You're a good man doing that. Good.
Okay.
Thought I'd try out my sea legs.
Okay.
That's where we're going to find those shrimp, my boy! Okay!
So lace up your Nikes and pop open a Dr. Pepper to revisit all the classic Gump stuff like feathers, shrimp,
shrimp soup, shrimp stew, shrimp salad,
dead celebrities.
Somebody shot, you know. Somebody shot that nice young president. Somebody shot his little brother, too.
Boxes of chocolate.
I ate some.
Jenny.
Jenny!
Lieutenant Dan.
Lieutenant Dan, ice cream.
Lieutenant Dan with legs. Lieutenant Dan without legs.
You ain't got no legs, Lieutenant Dan.
Things Mama said.
Mama said they'd take me anywhere.
This moment you probably didn't understand as a kid.
Oh.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's okay. And lots and lots of running.
Run, Forrest! Run!
At this point, they speed up the footage Benny Hill style.
Ah.
I'm so happy.
You love honesty. It's the best policy.
Starring young Claire Underwood, Bubba Booey, Sally Field Now, Gary's niece, I See Dumb People, and Usain Don't, Forrest Gump.
If you're ever a shrimp boat captain, that's a day I'm an astronaut.
And Lieutenant Dan kept his word. The end.
So, as they cut to Gary Sinise in a different movie.
Fantastic.
All right. So
Tom Hanks was born in Concord, California. Fun fact.
There you go.
Is that fun? Or just
that close?
I'm having fun.
Ish.
Yeah. It's fun times.
I mean, so native means you have to be like born there. You live there for amount of time. What's the deal there?
Oh, I don't think technically as you're born.
Yeah,
Tom
born
Hanks,
and raised.
If you have a problem with this, you should call in and be on the show.
Sure, come on, Tom.
Otherwise, I'm going to keep saying you're from here.
He studied theater in Hayward and then transferred to Sacramento State University.
There you go.
So, yeah, he's not native. If he went to Sac State, that's native. He's Bay Area native.
Colin Hanks is a Sacramento native, then.
Oh, okay.
Can we have him?
Sure.
Why do you have to take all the nice stuff, you guys?
That's just what I do.
I mean, because the Bay is the shit.
All right, everybody, thank you for listening.
At least we still have Ted Shaw.
And thank you for shopping Amazon through NateDarlingShow.com. If you're not doing it yet, it's super simple. Go to the website. You may be there now. Up at the top, there's a Shop Amazon tab. You click that, and then Amazon.com magically opens up. Ooh. And then you just shop as normal. It doesn't cost you anything extra. It helps support this podcast. And we do appreciate it. June, kind of a slacker month on Amazon.
Oh.
Oh, come on, you guys.
I put a lot of stuff in my basket I haven't checked out yet. I'm sorry.
I bought something.
It was a slacker month. April and May were big months. I'm not kidding. But June, slacker month.
Jeez, people.
Yeah, buy something nice for somebody. Treat yourself. Treat yourself. It's so easy. NateDarlingShow.com and the Shop Amazon tab. So thank you in advance for doing that. And thank you afterwards if you've already done it. That'll do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. Back with another one on Friday. And I hope the USA team is still playing in the World Cup, even though I don't think they are.
All right.
It's capital cities.
Cover all your bases there.
Yeah. Sorry. Bye.
And how was it?